Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have you noticed that this has happened in state after state? It really makes me wonder about the future of religious liberty. Not only laws that would protect religious liberty, like the RFRA laws, but in the states, but also whether or not we're really going to be able to kind of do business with business as Christians or other citizens of principle who say, look, we would like to have our religious liberty protected. In Georgia, there was a law passed to protect religious liberty. It was pretty much just like every other religious liberty law that's been passed by other states and at the national level. And the governor there vetoed it. He did it because he said he was trying to exercise some tolerance, but it was a pretty thinly veiled excuse for bowing to some considerable pressure from businesses inside and outside of Georgia. It happened in Indiana as well. What's going on here? We're going to be talking about big business and religious liberty for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to do so, Georgia State Senator William Ligon. He's author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled, Why Are Companies Taking Sides Against Religious Liberty? Senator Ligon, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Todd, glad to be with you.
Can you give us some examples, specific examples, of how you and other elected officials there in Georgia were pressured by big business to vote against Georgia's religious freedom bill?
Sure. Well, there obviously were the threats. The NFL threatened to not consider Atlanta as a potential site for a Super Bowl. Disney and Marvel threatened to pull out production of some of the films that they make in Georgia. Georgia's made great strides towards bringing the movie industry to our state. So certainly that was not a welcome thought. And other corporations as well expressed their displeasure, including Coca-Cola, Home Depot. They all signed up letters and sent them to the governor asking him to veto the bill. Of course, the legislature did pass House Bill 757. Then, unfortunately, the governor announced his veto of the bill.
Give us a history lesson, if you would, a little history lesson about Georgia's HB 757.
Sure. Well, over the course of the last 2 years, we tried to pass a Georgia version of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that is based on the federal version of the law. And that is the law that allowed Hobby Lobby to win its case and receive protections from the Obamacare mandates to provide abortion-inducing drugs to its employees. It was modeled after that law, which had been law for almost 30 years. The states all around Georgia have this law, but it brought a tremendous amount of resistance and did not pass. And then this year, after the Obergefell decision, we felt it necessary to add some additional provisions to that, and we specifically provided protections for pastors so that they could not be forced to perform same-sex marriages. We protected churches from being forced to use their properties, protecting them in their hiring practices, and other religious organizations from being forced to perform ceremonies or be involved in ceremonies against their belief. As a result of a great deal of grassroots pressure and insistence and a lot of hard work, we were able to get the bill passed this year. And we're not giving up. We will be back at it again next year, and hopefully Georgia will eventually offer these protections to people of faith in our state.
Why do you think that this issue of religious liberty, and in particular how it coincides or how it collides with kind of the homosexual agenda, for lack of a better word, why do you think it's become a cause for large and multinational companies?
I tell you, and we're still trying to figure that out. And there may not be one particular answer, but it could be for a variety of reasons. One may be that there are those in leadership in these large corporations that just sympathize with the cause. Others see it as the politically correct thing to do, and they don't want to be on the receiving end of the threats of a very vocal minority in our nation, which are aided by the mainstream media, by and large, many in the entertainment industry. And then there are others that I saw a commentary yesterday that indicated that, you know, well, in my opinion, I said, well, you know, corporations should really consider that when you have religious freedom, that that promotes economic freedom and all the other freedoms that we've enjoyed in this country. But this opinion was saying, well, corporations don't really care that much about that because once you're a big company, you want additional regulations to help keep your competitors out. That may be the case in some instances. I don't know, but I think it could be just for a variety of reasons.
I've been thinking about this for some months now, and I guess what I'm wondering is whether or not what does this portend for the future of, say, Republican Party, either in Georgia or nationally, where there seems to be a collision course between the interest of big business, which usually is associated with the Republican Party, and with the interests of social conservatives, again, usually associated with the Republican Party. Are we looking at a future of that party that would not be a home, a real comfortable home for social conservatives?
Well, I don't know that we could say that the Republican Party would not be a comfortable home for social conservatives. I do think that big business frequently will play both sides of the fence. And they've just chosen for right now to side with the hard left on these issues. If they start feeling a backlash from the millions of Christian consumers and people who love liberty across this nation, then they might start changing their actions and back off some of their agenda that they're pushing. I tell you what we really need in this country is a value-based business organization like a chamber of commerce, because I believe that there are many people that own businesses, some large, some small, that have an interest in social values and that side with the more conservative base in the Republican Party. And if we could somehow organize that, then that would be a great way to influence policy in our country and to counteract what we're seeing from some of these large multinational corporations.
You say two things in your recent Wall Street Journal column. I'd like you to explain both of them here at the end. You say first that religious liberty is good for everyone, not only the faithful. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you guard religious liberty, which is really we're talking about freedom of conscience, the freedom to worship in accordance with the dictates of your faith, then you're protecting other liberties as well. And you're protecting economic liberty, your right to own property, your freedom to expand your businesses, to operate with less government oversight. It's easy, I think, to look at restricting religious liberty, and it's probably an easy target. And if we allow this liberty to be targeted and reduced, then our others are endangered as well.
And finally, you also say if corporations want the benefits of a business-friendly environment with lower taxes and less regulation, they would do well to recognize who enacts such policies, people with center-right social values, not the hard left. What are you saying?
Exactly. When you look at some of the, just look at the political landscape today, who is talking about more regulation and higher taxes? It's the candidates such as Bernie Sanders, those who are on the left and on the far left. They want more regulation. They want to control the economy. They want to dictate what you can and can do. The people who have traditionally been against that and who want lower taxes and less regulation are those who are at the center and the center right. I mean, I would think that corporations would do well to consider that.
Senator William Ligon is a Georgia State Senator. He's author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled, "Why Are Companies Taking Sides Against Religious Liberty?" You can read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Senator Ligon, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to talk about Monday's vote by the Norwegian Lutheran Church to allow same-sex marriages. Dr. Al Culver will join us from Ethiopia. He's Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211, serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.